Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On San Francisco, on Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, we are live here in Pleasant Hill at Freedman's Appliance. Evan Giddings, Mark Grandy, live for their fall clearance sales event. Get on down today, tomorrow, all day. We got walk-in refrigerators. We got live working vignettes. We got the red carpet rolled out here in Pleasant Hill. Matt Steinmetz just showed up. And now, courtesy of the River Islands guest line, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? It is none other than Jim Cozumore. Coz, what's going on, man? You're with Evan and Mark. How you doing?
Mark, Evan, what's going on, boys? How's the crowd today at Freedman's Appliance?
It's amazing. Pretty lively, I gotta tell you.
I'll tell you this. If you guys aren't taking advantage of just going in there and getting some of the grub, then you're missing out on a great day. I heard you talking about the live vignette. Who doesn't love a live vignette when you're out in an appliance store?
I mean, that's exactly. When you got all these fantastic brands. I mean, we're talking about, gosh, Miele, Bosch, Electrolux, LG. So one of the guys from was it Lynx that came in to provide us with this
Lynx grill.
I mean, just some succulent ribeye, Coz. And even if you're coming down just to take a look at the hors d'oeuvres, it makes it worth your while.
Yeah, you're right. Just get on out there. You're driving down 680. Let's say you're heading in the direction of Sacramento. Just pull over on the right side. You'll see it there in Pleasant Hill, and people are going to be having a great time. And they show you how you can use all of the different elements there. When we talk about live vignettes, I know a lot of people joke with me about that even to this day, but it's because you can get in there and see how these appliances work. And you know what, guys? I'm actually standing in my kitchen. I've got the Miele built-in coffee maker. I've got the LG refrigerator. I've got the LG washer and dryer over here. That's because I would go to Freedman's Appliance and you could see these things live in person and how they work, and you could take advantage of them. And you're going to get the best deals of the year because the fall clearance sale is the best time to get something at Freedman's Appliance. But, man, you guys got a busy weekend this weekend. You've got 49er football coming up. We've got a lot of fun stuff coming up this weekend.
I was going to say, Coz, well, right before, Fisher and Paykel, very nice enough to drop us off. It looks like some Cajun shrimp with a chipotle sauce.
Yeah.
I'm going to dig into this in just a moment. But before I do that, I'll let you answer this. Coz, are the 49ers for real?
Boy, that's a great question. And I was trying to figure that out. You can say they escaped with a couple of wins, because when you win with your backup quarterback, you do escape. Maybe the schedule played into their favor early on in the season. I know that if you're a doubter, you can say they could easily be 0-3 as opposed to 3-0. But I think the game coming up against the Jaguars is a must-win trap game, is the way I look at it. Because the stakes go up the following 2 weeks after this, when you have to go on the road and play the Rams on the short week, and then you have to go on the road to play a red-hot Baker Mayfield. So the game tomorrow, to me, is a must-win trap game. I wonder if the 49ers are going to be looking beyond an average to below-average Jacksonville Jaguars team. But, boy, are they for real? You know what? You are what you are. Aren't you? Isn't the saying, you are what your record says? They're 3-0. So right now, they're the cream of their division. So I've got to say they're for real at 3-0.
Are you concerned at all? We just spent a lot of time talking about Christian McCaffrey's touches. He's been targeted over 30 times in the passing game, Coach, through three games. The running game hasn't worked. Doesn't matter really who's carrying the football. You concerned that that Shanahan and the Niners are overusing McCaffrey through 3 weeks, given what last year was?
You know what? It's pro football, guys. Guys are going to get hit, and you've got to use them to the best of their ability. If they realize the run game isn't working, which, quite frankly, for Kyle Shanahan, that's got to be, you know, death by a thousand paper cuts, because that's really what he lives on. I know we all think about him scheming guys wide open and Brock Purdy gets to play pitch and catch, but it's the run game that sets everything up. The run game had better get better for this 49ers team to be truly for real and be a serious contender in the NFC. I'm not concerned about Christian McCaffrey and the number of touches. I might be concerned with how they're getting him those touches. If they're not able to run the ball with Christian McCaffrey, sure, they want to get him his touches because he's such an effective player with the football. But to do it more and more through the air means they're going to be an unbalanced offense. So I'd like for them to get the running game going with Christian McCaffrey. But if Kyle Shanahan realizes it's not working, we're not able to get him in positions to do damage with the football, we're going to find ways to do that, and those ways might mean getting him the ball in space on a pass.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. We're talking with Jim Cozumore, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. We're live here at Freedman's Appliance Fall Clearance Sales Event all weekend long. It's interesting you mentioned that, Coz, because in past teams, Kyle Shanahan has been a guy that I feel like would far rather run it 40 times than throw it 40 times. But
agreed.
through three games, and granted two of which have been with a backup quarterback, they have thrown it at least 35 times each of the first 3 weeks. And so I'm starting to wonder, all right, is it McCaffrey? Is it the O-line? Is it teams effectively looking at a backup quarterback and saying, you're going to have to beat us through the air? I'm not so sure, but it is interesting that they've won these three games and they've been a team that has relied on the likes of Ricky Pearsall. They've done it without George Kittle. But they've been a team that has been, I think, far more dominant through the air than any of Kyle Shanahan's previous teams.
I think that it might be that next box after what you just listed, and that's check all of the above. Mm. I think it's a little bit of offensive line. I think it's a little bit of what are we doing with Christian McCaffrey now that we've got him and we hope that he is that weapon that we all know he can be. But I also think that it's that other piece to the puzzle of, if you have a backup quarterback, you make him beat you. Mac Jones, for people who liked him, you could say, all right, fine, I'm happy with him throwing the ball 35 times in a game. Well, you got yourself a couple of wins with him, so that's a good sign. But let's see if they go with the same tack when they have their starter back, and just how healthy is Brock Purdy when they're ready to put him in under center and ready to see what he truly can do. So I do think it's a little bit of all of the above, which would lead me to, if I want to extrapolate and go a little further, to say maybe there are a couple of questions with this team, but you can't argue with 3-0 right now. And you can't argue with the fact that the division, you tell me, is it the 49ers and Rams and everybody else? Or, you know, I mean, what does it really look like in the NFC West? You know, I saw the Rams play in person earlier this year. They looked good, but they didn't look like they scared me as a team. So you tell me what the view is out there in the Bay Area.
I think Niner fans here in the Bay think they have it right in front of them to win the division. I don't think Niner fans think the Rams are bad by any stretch.
Appropriate fear,
but I think most Niner fans feel like they should win this division, they being the Niners. But also, don't forget about Seattle, Coz. I mean, Seattle is sitting there at 3-1 as well, only loss in the division to the 49ers. I know it's football season. I know we've got Warriors Media Day coming up on Monday, Coz, and so the Jonathan Kuminga question hasn't been answered. We might ask you about that in a sec. Baseball season is coming to an end, and we're getting ready for what should be an awesome postseason. Unfortunately, it will not include the Giants. I know you're a big baseball guy. If you were Buster Posey, you bringing back Bob Melvin for another year?
Yes, I'm a big Bob Melvin guy, and I followed this all season long. There's a lot of dislike with Bo Mel, and I love the guy. I thought he was fantastic when he was with the Athletics, and he had to manage that situation there and manage the way they did things. I would say this, though. Bob Melvin was not hired by Buster Posey. Is that correct? Bob Melvin was not the guy hired by Buster. Buster
correct.
Took
he
over in
not.
The midst of that. Because I was at the baseball meetings when the Giants had him there and had signed Bob Melvin. I talked to Bob a little bit there, and that's going back a few seasons. I've just always been a big believer in him. And as much as he took a lot of heat for some of his decisions in season, he also has to get some of the credit for the run they made late to get themselves within sniffing distance of maybe getting into a wild card seat. So, you know, you can pick and choose what you like. Since I'm a Bob Melvin guy, I choose to be the Bob Melvin fan who says, yeah, he helped them get out of the crunch and get better. All right, let's see what he'll do when he knows what his roster is. They added a bat. They had to add him to the locker room and figure out a position for the guy and all that business that went on when they made the big trade with the Boston Red Sox. But I think if I'm Buster Posey, I like Bob Melvin. And I'll tell you this, if they decide to make a change at manager, and that's all well and good. In fact, in a second, when I finish the statement, I'm going to give you my dream scenario. Mm. If they choose to move on from Bob Melvin will have a job instantly this next season in Major League Baseball. But if they decide to make a change, I could see no better way of doing it and an easy way out than calling up the Texas Rangers and saying, hey, I think Bruce is pretty much done there, isn't he? And Chris Young's going to say, yeah, it's going to be an amicable parting of the ways. And Bruce Bochy's going to make one last ride back there at 3rd and Harrison.
His contract is up at the end of this season.
I used to work at 3rd and Harrison, 3rd and Harrison, at Willie Mays Plaza.
We live on 24th and Harrison. Funny you mention it. We're batting around some names too. I mean, Bochy, that would just be, in a way, it would almost be too poetic for him to come back with a team that people feel like might have underachieved this year. I'm kind of with you. If they move on from Melvin, I would understand it. I kind of lean towards keeping him because the one thing that I always find difficult to assess is how much a manager has or hasn't lost the locker room. And I think that's the question that you have to answer when you're making those kinds of choices about firing a guy. I don't think that Melvin has lost the locker room, which is why I believe that he'll be back. But I think you're absolutely right, Coz, that if somehow, some way, Bruce Bochy could be wearing the orange and black again, that's not really anything you can say no to.
No. I'll be honest with you. And I would be stunned if they hadn't kicked the tires on that in some way, shape, or form. You answer me this. Who would have the most excitement around them as an organization if you found out Bruce Bochy was coming back to the Giants? Would it be the Warriors as they go into their swan song of seasons with their core group pretty much intact, the ones that made the great runs, and you can always have that remembrance? Will it be the 49ers who are always going to be the big dog? But you get me Bruce Bochy back with the San Francisco Giants for one last ride, I got to think that all the excitement of the Bay is going to be pointed right there at the Giants, right there at the orange and black, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it would definitely get them closer than they've been the last handful of years, there's no doubt. Simple question for you, Coz. Is Jonathan Kuminga worth all the trouble that the Warriors are putting themselves through this offseason?
Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you something. He sure thinks he's worth the trouble, doesn't he? I mean, if he's going to negotiate as hard as he is and he wants to have the player out and all this other business, he's certainly the one who's betting on himself. But that might tell you that, yes, he is worth that trouble. Yes, he is a guy that you need as that transit. Listen, you got to know that the wick is getting short, right? You've got to keep great players if you've got yourself a great player. So, yeah, it is worth the trouble. It might be worth buckling under and saying, hey, we got to give this guy what he wants right now because he's going to be the bridge is built. Right, we see the future, and eventually he's going to have to end. Father Time is undefeated, so you need to have great players, and you've got one right there. You just can't afford to lose them. So I would say yes, it is worth the trouble, and yes, do what you can within reason to keep him under wraps so that he is going to be the next version of a face for your franchise.
And whether they keep him because they want him to transform him to that, whether they keep him because they eventually want to trade him to upgrade. And my last question for you, Coz, is simply this. Of the three Bay Area teams looking to the next year, so the Niners this year, the Warriors who start in a couple of weeks and go through 2026, and then the Giants 2026 season, the three Bay Area teams, the San Francisco squads, yeah. Which team do you believe is closest to a championship?
Boy, that's a really good question. I think that I'd like to say my San Jose Sharks are the closest to win a Stanley Cup championship.
Hey, Macklin. Macklin.
Number two overall pick.
I know. Let me tell you, I'm a fan of what they're doing down there. In fact, I'm actually traveling to Minneapolis this year to St. Paul to go see the Sharks play this season. I'm so excited about
that. That's a great arena, by the way. The Stars do it right.
See, that's why I'm going. Yeah, that's why I'm going there is because I have not been to that facility. I'll see them when they come to Nashville, but I want to go out and see them in St. Paul because I hear that's a great arena and the atmosphere is just crazy. But to get back to which is closest, I would say the San Francisco 49ers. I took a look at their schedule one more time. And you get past the next 2 weeks. It's must win. It sounds crazy, but in the NFL, you only get 17 tries. It's a must win at the ball game coming up on Sunday. They've got to get that and go to 4-0. The next 2 weeks after that, stakes go up. But the rest of the season, you've got teams like the Browns who are beatable. I know the Packers would like to think otherwise, but the Browns are beatable. The Bears are beatable. I do think getting the Seahawks at home is a winnable game. I don't think the Cardinals are that good of a football team any longer. I do think that they can control their division. I know the games with the Rams are different. But I think they've got a very winnable schedule. And if you can do some damage in the regular season, get a home game or two in the playoffs, I would say of the three San Francisco-based teams, the 49ers, even though they're on the peninsula, the 49ers are the team closest to winning a championship of some sort for your Warriors, Giants, 49ers, troika.
And they are hosting the Super Bowl, so geographically, they are the closest to a Super Bowl.
And the last time they hosted a Super Bowl, did they host the Super Bowl in 80? Did they host the Super Bowl when they beat the Chargers? When Steve Young took – no, where was that?
I think that was in Miami.
They hosted –
Miami, okay.
When Miami made the Super Bowl. That was at Stanford, but it was in the Bay Area.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Levi's hosted the Broncos Super Bowl win, Peyton Manning's last year against the Panthers.
Yep, and the Carolina Panthers, right? That's the one where Cam Newton decided not to jump for the fumble, I believe, because he didn't want to hurt his arm. I don't want to take a shot at him. He's a great quarterback. I'm not taking a shot at him. He's a great quarterback.
It was only the last game of the season.
Evan talked about the shrimp from Fisher and Paykel that was brought to us. We also got some mac and cheese and looks like some pulled pork from another one of the live working vignettes here at Freedman's Appliance Co. I got to ask, I know your kitchen is all Freedman's Appliance. What is your favorite appliance in your kitchen?
My favorite appliance and the one that I use the most is the built-in Miele coffee maker because, guys, you come over, let's say, Evan, you got a favorite coffee drink. I can program it in so that every time you come to my house, you hit Evan's drink and that thing's going to come out. You want a latte with two shots of espresso? I can make it for you. Mm-hmm. You want a cappuccino with one shot? You want a longo? Whatever you want, I can make Evan's drink. I can make Mark's drink. I can make everybody's drink and put their name on it so that when you come over, you can just hit the button and boom, it's going to be made for you. So I would say that's my favorite appliance. That's the Miele brand. But you know what? Who doesn't love my LG refrigerator that makes four different types of ice, including the round balls of ice, which are great for cocktails. So it's Saturday night, so you know that I'm going to be imbibing and enjoying that as I watch my college football tonight. So those are my favorite appliances that I've got in the house. But listen, if you are anywhere near Pleasant Hill and you need something, whether it's a washer and dryer, something for your kitchen, make sure you get on out there. You can do it today. Also on Sunday, it's the fall clearance sale. You will not get better.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Deals anywhere else. Plus, you'll get to see how the appliances work because they have the live working vignette. These guys have been tasting it all day long. They've got the artery cloggers going, including the mac and cheese. So get on out there. Hey, spend some time in Pleasant Hill, but get on out to Friedman's Appliance because you are going to love seeing how the appliances work, because that way you're going to be able to know how it's going to work when you get home. So all great stuff there. And, boy, I'll tell you, it's one of the great weekends for any family that needs something for their home.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for your time. And obviously here at Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill, wouldn't rather catch up with anybody else. Hope you're doing well, and thank you so much for hopping on with us.
Guys, it's a pleasure. Always great being on with you guys. I'm a huge fan of 95.7 The Game. Keep up the great work, and thanks so much for having me on. Enjoy the weekend at Friedman's Appliance. And, guys, have a great rest of your day.
You right too, on, Coz. Take it easy. And that is Jim Cozumore, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. What is your coffee drink? You don't really drink coffee.
I'm not a big coffee guy.
You drink tea?
Sometimes.
If you have any caffeine, are you going to be like a six-year-old off of Coca-Cola
probably,
or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, see,
not a caffeine guy.
What I didn't want to tell Coz was my coffee order would... if I'm typing it into the Mila coffee maker, it's just number one. It's
black coffee.
It's black coffee. Yeah just
really the Mila coffee maker could do that for you. No problem.
Yeah, but I don't want to make it out to be like, oh, it's Evan's special order. It's like, no, it's
just generic.
Although it does feel like more and more the places that I go, you know, you walk into a coffee shop and everyone's got their specific drink that they like, and I walk up and I'll order, or I'll go to Mila's, you know, fantastic coffee roasters, and I'll just go, hey, I want a black coffee. And they'll look at me and they'll say,
really?
That's it? Like, that's all you want. You know, I'm just like Kyle Shanahan.
Like caramel macchiato, two
just
pumps.
Just run the damn ball.
Extra cream.
Yeah,
whatever.
I don't need the vanilla latte, two pumps with a twist, a little jig and a jog on the side. No, I don't need all that. Just give it to me straight. You know, just run the football and we're going to win the game. That's my caffeine.
The rare occasion that I do have coffee, I'll go coffee with a cream. That's it.
Well, I think that's pretty common. Like, if you don't drink a lot of coffee, I think it's probably too bitter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, just... I'll be absolutely wired. Although I haven't had any coffee today. So that is one thing that I don't know whether I'm going to go off the ledge or if I'm going to crash between now and 3 o'clock when we wrap up this broadcast.
Yeah, no coffee, but we are filling up on the food here at Friedman's Appliance. We got some shrimp. We got some mac and cheese. We got some pulled pork. If you are in the area, as Coach said, stop by today and tomorrow. Live working vignettes where they show off their appliances in working order, in real, like, working kitchens, and they're cooking all this food in those kitchens. So stop on by for great deals and for some great food, too.
Yeah, there was a little, like, kind of beef medley that someone was making by Bertazzoni is the brand. And this guy, who, of course, you know, their jobs, these are experts, was explaining to this young couple how and where this oven, an entire cooking table, was going to fit into their kitchen. What was, you know, what should go in the specific place, how the food that he was making was going to be packaged, was going to be wrapped up, stowed away, where the individual saucers and kitchen appliances were going to go. It was a really intricate explanation. He had everything but a PowerPoint presentation, essentially. And I was pretty impressed. So you get that in virtually every single room you walk into for every single brand.
Yeah, and they don't have, like, note cards. Like, these are expert salespeople that, you know this all off the top of their head. They'll tell you everything about all these appliances, and they are top of the line, and a lot of amazing deals today and tomorrow. So if you are in the market for a new appliance, this is the place to go, and it's also the weekend to do it, because as Coz said, you're not going to find a better deal on these kinds of appliances anywhere else, any other time of the year, other than this sale this weekend.
And yeah, this is the fall clearance sales event today, tomorrow. Again, a lot of trusted brands, special pricing on floor models, convenient financing right here at Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. We're going to take one final break and come back. Going to kind of get a smorgasbord of sports topics for you on the other side. But I want to ask Randy what I ran by Jim Cozumore about the future championship aspirations specific to the three Bay Area San Francisco-based teams. Of course, as Coz said, one's in Santa Clara. But the point being how close these...
Game broadcast. Plus, we'll have tailgate games, prizes, great food, and drink specials. For more information, visit 957thegame.com. Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings, Mark Grandy, one last segment here live at Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill for the fall clearance sales event today and especially tomorrow. One-of-a-kind opportunities, special pricing, trusted brands like Miele, Bosch, Electrolux, LG, and Maytag. We talked to Jim Cozumore about his favorite brand. We talked to Matt Steinmetz, who is live here at Freedman's Appliance, about his favorite appliances. We've had food, we've had drinks, we've had great times, and of course, a very courteous and welcoming staff here at Freedman's Appliance. So it's been an awesome day.
We got a wide range of answers because we asked Coz his favorite appliance and he said his Miele coffee machine.
Yes.
And I don't know if we asked Steiny this question explicitly, but he was raving to us about a walk-in fridge.
Yeah.
So we have a coffee machine and we have a walk-in fridge and everything in between here at Freedman's.
Yeah, I was going to say that it kind of just depends on what you got a hankering for.
Yeah.
You know, do you need... Do you need stuff for the morning? Do you need to make a huge dinner meal for tons of people because they got tables set up for that as well? Grills, stovetops. I mean, shoot, if you need a washer and a dryer, they got that as well. Yeah. The prices are pretty ridiculous because just like anybody, you know, I'm doing some window shopping. Not sure if I'll be able to pick up something today, but, you know, if 95.7 The Game comes up a little bit in the next couple of years, maybe I might walk home with one of these one day. And the first thing that always pops off the page is the minus and then a number in red. And I got to tell you, some of these numbers are much larger than I would have thought. Not going to lie, Grandy.
Yeah.
So maybe one day.
Maybe one day. And you and I are, you know, obviously... You know, we're adults, but we're on the younger side of
things.
Speak
for yourself. Yeah.
But, you know, the true sign that you're becoming an adult is you show up in a place like this, and you're like, oh, my God, I want literally everything that's in here. Like,
yeah.
the moment when you're like, yeah, a new fridge would turn my life around. That's how you know when you're an adult, and that's how I feel when I walk into Freedman's Appliance.
Yeah, new kitchen sinks, new tiles, just new everything. Although I will say, it does have me kind of, even if it's just for inspiration, like they got something for everyone. So if I'm walking around thinking, all right, how do I want my kitchen to look? You know, kind of what are the things that I'm looking for? Am I feeling more of a wood tile? I'm looking for a tile top. You know, how do I want my kitchen or my home to be set up? Everyone here will give you an answer based on your specific needs,
which is
pretty cool. And they're also just down-to-earth nice people. All right, Granny. Well, we got some time here left between now and 3 o'clock. I do want to ask you what I asked Jim Cozumore at the tail end of our chat with him. Lovely man, as always. Between the three San Francisco-based Bay Area teams, and I'm kind of fast-forwarding because obviously the Giants season is coming to a close now, but if you were to take the 2025 Niners, so this year, the Warriors of 25-26, so beginning in a couple weeks until next year, and the San Francisco Giants, next year's team, of those three groups, which one has the best chance, or is closest, I think I said to Jim, closest to a championship?
I'm going to give you the answer that Coz first gave you. It's a really good question. You can make a case for
there's
all
no
three.
Answer.
Because it's a hard one to answer.
Yeah.
And part of the reason is because you don't have a singular dominant team that you view as the favorite to win it all in their respective leagues. That's not like a major knock. Like, it's difficult to be the best team in the league, like, far and away. And to the credit of the Niners and the Warriors, they both have been that, you know, as recently as just a handful of years ago for both of them. So we're kind of spoiled in that regard. But it also, I think, is a compliment to each three because I don't know if I have a one that I immediately can, like, pull out of the conversation either.
I do.
Like, Which team is that?
The Giants? The Giants, yeah.
I mean, the Giants got quite a bit of talent. Well, we'll see what the pitching staff turns out to be next year.
Sure.
But I don't know.
Of the three, that would be the one that I would say is the furthest. But it's not like they couldn't do it.
It's tough because the regular season is such a grind, and making the postseason is difficult because it takes 162 games without going through a stretch like the Giants went through. But now you also have three wild card spots, and there's seven teams that make the playoffs in a league that isn't that, you know, gigantic. Seven teams in each league make the playoffs. Flip of a coin, you're going to make it almost 50% of the time. Giants have only made it once in the last 9 years, I know.
Yeah.
And then baseball postseason is so fickle. If you're just hot at the right time, you catch fire. Like the Diamondbacks, you could go all the way to the World Series of a couple of years ago. So, like, there's kind of two sides to that coin. I think ultimately I'm going to agree with Coe's, and I think it's because of the 49ers' schedule this year, and it's because of the fact that if you ride that schedule, and I know I'm talking about a lot of ifs here, you ride that schedule and you find a way to claim a one seed in the NFC, I'm not saying I'm expecting that to happen. We're talking about only having to win one game at home just to go to the NFC title game. And this is the 49er team, you talked about it earlier, that tends to be at their best when the postseason comes around. That should, assuming somewhat of a healthy year going forward, that should be the case again here in 2025, and maybe even more so this year than in years past, because they're younger, and you think every game of experience for these youngsters on defense will only make them better. I think it's the 49ers. I don't think it's by a relatively wide margin, because I also think a team with a full year of Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green, also assuming health there, is a pretty damn good basketball team. But I think it's the Niners for me.
If we were talking about the future, like which one of these franchises is closest to a title, I would agree with you. But I'm asking about just one year. And that's why I would say it's the Warriors. Mm. I think it is the Golden State Warriors, because of the three teams this past year, they were literally the closest. Now, do I think they are a championship contender? No. But I feel like they're a group that has a high floor. And depending on what happens with Kuminga, I think that's also a key to this too. That if they can, and I'm assuming that they will trade him at some point during the year, if they can trade him for something of use, not to say they'd get someone like Jimmy Butler, who completely changed their fortunes. But if they can use him to acquire a quality piece, and of course, health assuming, I think this is a team that could be right back in the second round of the playoffs with a shot to get to the Western Conference Finals. And so if we're looking at, all right, you know, the difference between football, so that'd be the divisional round. I think that the Warriors this year have a better chance to get to the Western Conference Finals than I believe the 49ers have to get to the NFC Championship game. That's the way I would look at it. I don't think either of them are good enough to win a Super Bowl or an NBA title, but if I'm looking at those three teams and saying which one is closest this year, I do think it's the Golden State Warriors.
I hear you. I also think the NBA playoffs is such a grind, and I think generally speaking, the best teams make it through. And this past year kind of showed that, specifically with the OKC side of things. I know Indiana,
in the West it did, yeah.
Indiana kind of came out of nowhere. There was also madness with injuries in the East that kind of changed the picture a little bit, although the Celtics were already in trouble even before Tatum went down. That series was just about over anyway. But generally, I think the NBA playoffs is so much more about who had been the best team, who's not the youngest, but who is able to put up with the grind of four postseason series. Each of those series maybe going six games or more. That seems really, really difficult for a team of the Warriors' stature, who has guys that are 35, 35, and 37 years old. And by the time the postseason comes around, 36, 36, and 38 years old. That seems really difficult to me. Not that the NFL playoffs isn't a grind and the NFL season isn't a grind either, but when you consider the fact that the Niners, just to make the Super Bowl, would have to put up with just two, potentially three or two playoff games just to make it, as opposed to the incredibly old Warriors having to do that for three postseason series to make the finals. I don't know.
If we just said both teams advance to the playoffs, what's more likely? The Warriors get through that with their age, or the Niners can get through that and catch a little bit of luck here? I don't know. I think it's the Niners, just because of the way the NFL playoffs tend to go, which is so much more danger to the top seeds. When the NBA, I feel like those older teams who might not have been a top seed in the regular season are tested so much more physically because of the nature of the NBA playoffs.
I mean, I also think that there's only been one time where the Niners have really made a run to an NFC title game where they haven't been favored.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
2021. I mean, you look at the other teams that have gone deep in the postseason. Those teams have been really good. I mean,
they were expected to at least go to the title game,
was a one seed.
Probably. Yeah.
2023 was a one seed, and then the team that lost to the Eagles, I believe, was the two seed.
Yes.
So all three of those groups were quality. I mean, to your point, I think the schedule might allow them to find a way towards, you know, not being one of those lower wild card groups. And even if they win the division, you know, like a higher division winner. But I guess I'm just under the assumption that something, and honestly, we don't know it yet, but it could be the Bosa injury. I just feel like at some point this team that has made a lot of plays late are not going to make as many, and that might hurt them. I also think that, you know, when you look at the Warriors, they're not apples to apples, but Nick Bosa, his injury really does, I think, hurt their chances to do something this season, because he is just, I know he doesn't get a ton of credit and he hasn't played very well since, at least by his standards, since he got his big money, but he's still a top five player at his position. To me, it would be like if the Warriors, I know it's different because there's 22 guys on the field, 11 at a time compared to five, but like if they lost Draymond Green or Jimmy Butler, you know, I think he's that impactful to what they're able to do on defense.
I was going to ask you, and maybe you...
I wouldn't say Steph Curry, but...
Maybe just what you said is you know, leading you to the answer that I'm looking for, but do you think Nick Bosa is more impactful? Not saying who's a better player, because obviously Fred's the best at his position. I don't think Nick is that at the DN spot. There are so many other great pass rushers. Do you think Nick is more impactful on a game-in, game-out basis for the Niners defense than Fred Warner is? Like, who's the player that the Niners couldn't afford to lose? Is it Bosa or is it Warner?
I think it's equal. I think it's equal. I just think that when you have someone on the D-line that can make play, like, they can just wreck games. Like, Fred is the more steady player, and he's someone that, you know, you love to have. Like, I think the impact of him being gone would also be different because he's frankly more of a leader than Bosa is. I think that he wears the green dot. He makes calls. His job between the snaps is more difficult than Bosa's, but they don't win the game against Seattle if Nick Bosa doesn't get to the quarterback and force that fumble. I just feel like edge rushers are in positions to make more game-changing plays because they can hit the quarterback and be around the football more than Fred Warner. Like, Fred Warner is going to strip a couple like we saw against the Saints, obviously. He's going to make great plays. But I just think by virtue of the position, Nick Bosa is more impactful.
Yeah, it's a really hard question to answer for me because I think Fred is the best linebacker in the NFL. I don't think it's that close.
Yeah, he's better at his position,
yeah,
certainly, than
no
Bosa.
No doubt. But I also think when you think about the structure of the Niners' defense and the way it works and their strengths and their weaknesses and who the replacements are, and all you take all of that into account, I think it's Nick Bosa's loss that hurts the Niners more. I don't think
like losing either of them is terrible. And now the pressure shifts squarely to Robert Saleh. But this is a Niner team that does not have a ton of depth at pass rusher. At least proven depth. Like, who knows, maybe Mykel Williams in 6 weeks' time looks like an all-pro. And maybe he's in the running for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Like, that's not out of the question. That is possible. But when you it's possible. When you consider who the replacement is, and you also consider what the Niners' defensive secondary is, and the way to help out a young secondary is to rush four dudes and still impact the quarterback on a regular basis, and how much more difficult it becomes for the Niners to do that without Nick Bosa, now you're asking your young secondary with Renardo Green and Marquise Siegel and Upton Stout to hold up even longer. I think Nick Bosa's impact is drastic because of what is behind him on that defensive line and what the Niners are in the secondary. Now you're going to have to hope that your young secondary is ready for the challenge, because they're going to be asked to do a tougher job now, because likely the Niners won't be able to get to the quarterback as quickly or as often.
It's interesting you say that his impact will be felt because of who's behind him. I actually think it's going to be felt by what's around him. Like, one of the reasons Mykel Williams might have looked really good the last 2 weeks is because he's rushing on the same side as Nick Bosa.
He moved to the inside on pass rushing downs, you're right.
So I think that there's going to be a bit of a domino effect there. You also think about some of the other members of their D-line. Like, at different points in week one, there were two and or three rookies in rotation on the D-line. And Nick Bosa he's the veteran of that group. You know, I'm not the biggest Nick Bosa supporter, but I do think that of all three levels, you know, you think about kind of the top heaviness, he stands out. I mean, the rest of the D-line, as far as we know, granted because they're very young, does not have a lot of talent on it around him. Fred Warner, D-Winters looks really, really good. Yes. I'm not saying you could lose him and be fine. Although it's interesting because we've literally never seen the Niners without Fred Warner. Like, he's missed, what, two games in his career?
And last year playing with a fractured ankle, yeah, but still played.
Played 17 games last year. So, yeah, that's probably the closest we've seen to not having Fred Warner is him just playing injured.
And you could tell. He wasn't himself.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
still,
exactly.
Fred's a warrior. Yeah.
You know, Nick Bosa is – I just think it's – even though he's probably overpaid – there's a reason why he makes $35 million a year, and God love him, Fred Warner makes 18 or 20.
Well, he might not be overpaid anymore, consider what Micah Parsons is getting from the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, exactly. It's, or what Jamar Chase is making now at the Cincinnati Bengals.
If you're ever scared to sign your guys to contracts, just know that in 2 years it's going to feel all right.
Yeah, and I realize, look, like, I mean, DPOYs are kind of like you know, it's like the MVP in baseball. Like, you hit the most home runs, you get the most sacks, you're going to be in the running. It's
hard for a linebacker to win it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You got to be dominant in so many different ways. And I think Fred's got some votes for DPOY in the past. But there's a reason why he was the best in the league at one point, got paid the money that he did. And while I don't think he's necessarily yet, and actually it sucks because it's not his fault, but he still has yet to live up to his contract because he's going to miss the whole year.
Yeah.
It's not his fault and is a non-contact injury, but since Nick Bosa's been paid, he has not lived up to his contract. But it doesn't take away from the fact that you're right. I believe that his presence or lack thereof is going to be felt more than Fred.
Yeah, and to go back to your original question that opened this conversation, who do you think is closest to winning a championship out of the Warriors, Niners, and Giants for either the year that they're currently in or the year that's upcoming and for the Giants next year? The Bosa injury, I'm factoring that in there. It definitely decreases the odds, there's no doubt. A single player in football, I think, unless it's the quarterback, has less of an impact than a single player in basketball. Like, you compare the Bosa injury maybe to a Draymond or a Jimmy injury. I don't know what the right comparison is there, because I think a Jimmy Butler injury or a Draymond injury, obviously a Steph injury, but an injury that takes that ends their season short for any of those three guys, the Warriors' season is over, in my opinion. I don't really know what they can do at that point. I can still find a way without Nick Bosa for the Niners to figure this thing out and at the very least make the playoffs and, like, legitimately put a scare into some of the better teams in the league, and that's just the nature of football. One injury, unless it's your quarterback, doesn't really kill you. The Niners have been killed in the past.
Or in the case of the Vikings, you score 48 points.
Yeah.
You lose your starting quarterback, and maybe Carson Wentz is the answer.
You bring this up.
There's been a lot of backups that look good this year.
My conspiracy theory is that the Vikings benched J.J. McCarthy not because he got injured, but because they think Carson Wentz gives them a better chance to win.
I don't know if it's – so I'm actually with you. Like, I think I was talking to Lowe about this actually last week, you know, because we're looking at the games and some of the results, and I think a lot of it was just how bad Jake Browning was. I think they had two defensive touchdowns, the Vikings did.
They did, by the same guy.
But Carson Wentz looked good. I mean, he threw two touchdowns. I think he had 200 yards. He was good. I just think that from what they've seen already and what they already know about J.J. McCarthy, that they were going to let him play until they started losing. And then you have someone like Carson Wentz who is, to be fair, he's kind of a gunslinger too. Like, I don't know how good he is, but I think there's a very real possibility that J.J. McCarthy is not the quarterback unless Carson Wentz loses games.
The timing just felt wonky to me because he was terrible through three quarters of his debut, week one.
And then Tebow
was amazing in the fourth quarter, and they won the game in Chicago, and was terrible week two versus the Vikings. Both those games were primetime games. And then, like, right after week two, that loss against Atlanta, and by the way, he played through that entire game, and I think one of his last snaps of the game, he was, like, rolling out to the right and was sprinting and was moving fine. And then very quickly after that game ends, they rule him out for the following week. No evidence of any injury impacting him in that game, whatever. And this is me going conspiracy mode. Rule him out for the next week's game. And then, before that next week's game even begins, their head coach comes out and says, yeah, he's out next week as well. Or maybe two more weeks. And I don't know. It seems fishy to me.
I think the one game they saw from Carson Wentz are like, we don't need to rush this injury.
Probably. Carson Wentz will eventually be Carson Wentz, as you're talking about, but I don't know. It's interesting what's happening there. There is no doubt, though, that having a capable backup is very, very valuable, and there's no better example of that than the 49ers.
Yeah, you think that Brock Purdy's going to get Wally Pipped?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't think that.
How much money do you think Mac Jones has made himself?
Well, he's on a 2-year deal with the 49ers, which is interesting.
Well, or
do you think the Niners will trade him?
I actually don't think they'd trade him. In a way, I think, yeah.
Maybe in the offseason.
I was talking about this with the boss.
Him.
He was like, you could move him. Like, what if we get a third round pick for Mac Jones? I actually think the fact that his value is now high, his value is higher to the Niners, too. Like, the fact that you know now that you can have a backup quarterback that can win you games, that to me is a commodity that is not proven around the NFL. Like, you can't just assume that your backup is going to step in and win you a football game, and he did it twice.
Well, yeah.
So I think the fact that Brock Purdy, who's dealt with some nicks and bruises, probably will in the future, especially next year, or maybe even later this year, God forbid, I don't think you even think about trading Mac Jones.
Let's say that Brandon Allen or Josh Dobbs, either, take your pick. It does not matter. Was still the Niners' backup quarterback. They're 1-2, right? The Niners?
With Brandon Allen, yes.
Yeah.
100%. I think Dobbs was... I could never honestly figure out why Dobbs wasn't the backup over Allen.
I agree.
Allen. But yeah, I mean, I think they lose one of those two games for sure.
At least one. Probably both. I mean, they both came down to the
fourth quarter.
They
definitely lose the Arizona game. And then the Saints won. I just honestly think the Saints are just pretty bad.
The Niners might have still found a way. You're right, maybe. But you're talking about instead of being 3-0, being 1-2. Or 2-1,
and at that, like, and then, to be fair, we're having a completely different conversation.
Absolutely.
About how big the Bosa injury is. I do think that a lot of his, a lot of the kind of downplaying of his ACL tear, is because they're 3-0. Like, the wins have really marred a lot of the injury talk, and how much they're actually dealing with, because they've won three games by 10 points.
Yeah, and the way that the NFL works, we were talking about it earlier. One, it's the schedule, and two, it's just it doesn't matter who your wins are against. You win against bad teams. Teams in your division lose against good teams. You have a better record than them despite not being tested, really. You win your division, you're in the playoffs, and hell, maybe you luck into a one seed and you only have to win one game at home to go to the NFC Championship game. You start 3-0, and your odds of making the playoffs in the NFL are like 75%. Like, it would take a lot for them to not make it. Doesn't mean it can't happen, but just being 3-0, no matter how you got the wins, they could all be last second 1-point wins. Just the fact that you got the win, doesn't matter who it's against, means you've set yourself up to go to the playoffs, and I don't care what happens injury-wise, if you don't make the playoffs now, it is a major, major disappointment because you started 3-0.
All right, before we wrap up, what is your favorite, has been your favorite part of today at Freedman's Appliance?
I think it might have been that pulled pork.
Our guy just gave us?
That guy just gave us, yeah.
Was that from Fisher and Pinnacle?
I don't think it was. That was the shrimp. I mean, there's...
Might have been from the same guy. I believe it was Lynx. Lynx Grill that also cooked up that ribeye. And maybe it was the barbecued chicken, too. But both of those were fantastic.
I mean, if you're making me pick one, it's difficult. But I'm a sucker for some pulled pork. So that's my answer.
My answer probably has to do with what I'm going to get into after we get off the camera. There's been some excellent pours that, and again, like, you can have all these just installed in your own home. If you get on down to Freedman's Appliance, again, before the end of tomorrow, their fall clearance sales event all weekend long until the end of today, and then tomorrow on Sunday. So get on out here right off 680, Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Very easy to get to, and a lot of money to be saved with some fantastic people. So, yeah, overall, awesome day. Big thank you to Matt Steinmetz, who joined us earlier, Jim Cozumore as well, calling in. Cameron Williams back in our 95.7 The Game studios, holding it down as always. Shout out to Carter and Sam, who did it this morning, did an awesome job. And for my...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.